SiriusXM Sports presents At the Races with Steve Bick. Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
From Clearwater Beach, as we continue the Florida tour, from Ocala to Clearwater, earlier last week, of course, Tampa, and so the third leg of the Florida Troika upon us. It's the HBPA convention, the national HBPA, and literally seconds away from getting started in the big ballroom, the welcome notations and opening remarks as the horsemen from around North America file in. And early on, they're not going to waste any time this morning. Dr. Durenberger from New York, and she's going to talk about welfare, her presentation. Can we put the we in welfare? Keynote address, a little different than the normal keynote address that we've come to expect, and this is actually a panel. And Craig Burnick and Jack Wolf, and of course you heard from Jack yesterday, Corey Johnson, getting geared up at Arizona Downs, moderated by Justin Nicholson, and it's you know, the Thoroughbred Idea Foundation that Craig Burnick and Pat Cummings have spearheaded. And one of the big topics most recently, their most timely presentation, the idea about the data. And we've been having a lot of data conversations, released a white paper the other day that basically called for an opening of the treasure trove, the information that is curated and disseminated by Equibase for fees. And the concept that we've been discussing, and of course Robin Howlett, we had hoped that Robin was going to be involved in the panel that that I'm actually moderating this afternoon with Papo Morales and Pat and Wilson Shirley about, you know, the next generation of stats and data and how to use it and how to get it into the hands of prospective players. It's kind of a continuation of some of the, you know, the early discussion this morning, but It's a thorny topic. It's a difficult topic. Costs money to pull the information together and to do what Equibase does, and how much of it is owned by the horsemen and owners and so forth, and how much should be repackaged for no cost in the hopes of generating interest and handle. And that's the question that's been kicked around actually now for a fair amount of time. This is not a new discussion, and that was, you know, certainly, you know, that part was, you know, more or less the introduction to the white paper that the Idea Foundation suggested. So we'll get as much about it out as we can over the next couple of days. We're here today, tomorrow, and Friday. The other topics and a lot of the other, I would imagine, even breakaway discussions got to focus on welfare issues that seems to, over the last few years, dominate a lot of conversation, and no surprise, and it's been, you know, certainly with some exceptions and pockets where issues have cropped up, there's been a lot of progress over the years on that side of things. You know, yesterday, as we closed out, if you were listening to the replay just now, you heard Anna Ford and, in fact, Jen Reutz, who you've heard as well. Jen handles the, basically took over from Stuart Pittman, the Thoroughbred Makeover, and what a mammoth success it's been. So many of these topics. Eric Hamelbeck will join us after he kicks off the gathering and the day's activities. He'll come after the first break, and we'll talk about, you know, some of the things that have happened since we were together last year. Where were we last year? New Orleans. Yeah, New Orleans, Vegas, and I think we were here 3 years ago. And we're at the, for those of you wondering, we're at the Sheraton Sand Key Clearwater Beach, and that little causeway, that little chain of islands from the mainland, from Clearwater, then it goes out over one bridge, and then another bridge, and any further, it'd be a bridge too far. You'll be in the Gulf. Happy to come back here, and happy to present the HBPA convention. We'll get back to all of the activities in a little bit. Let's also set up what else we're going to do today and some of the other visits. And later, going to be joined by the team behind Colonial Downs and the relaunch. John Marshall, who got to meet last night. And, of course, Jill Byrne, brought in as director of racing. And Jill, very excited to come home to Virginia. Had a really fun conversation with Jill about growing up and some things that I didn't even know. She basically was a schoolmate, a classmate of Debbie Easter. And that whole, all of those Virginia horsemen and women that we're so used to hearing about, Woodbury Payne and Rodney Jenkins, another generation, and the Fouts, and there's so many from Virginia. And Jill Byrne, at the time when the announcement came, I think people were a little stunned. Jill Byrne, okay, and she is so excited about this opportunity. And John Marshall, they're gung-ho in Colonial, and they're really just weeks away from the kickoff. The renovations of the building, they have got some challenges with the racing program that we'll discuss with them. Jill and John, and I think Frank Petromalo. And, of course, if we go back to the start of the saga with the Jacobs family and what transpired with Colonial and their very strange posture that ultimately resulted in them stepping away and selling. Frank Petromalo had really shepherded the post-Colonial period, and then with the Virginia Equine Alliance and Debbie Easter's outstanding leadership, this is the long-term result and where things stand. And there's plenty of interest and excitement about what Colonial coming back and that beautiful double-wide turf course. In fact, yesterday I didn't think about it, but when Jonathan Thomas was with us, Jonathan's father, the longtime track super, and basically the horticulturalist at Colonial, and the famous burning of the grass course to bring up fresh growth and thickening of the turf course. I should have brought that up with Jonathan. I always get a big kick out of it every year when they do it. His dad and a team, actually, that I know that Jill will talk about. They put together not just the existing personnel that had been at Colonial, but they brought in some other top people, and they're making sure that everything involved at Colonial is up to code, and everything that you do on a checklist to get the racetrack back up and running. So Jill Byrne and John Marshall and Frank Petromalo, I think. Pete Fornatale is at Cheltenham, and we'll touch at some point with Pete. I'm not sure. And at some point with Pete, he checked in earlier, and so we'll get him between races. I think we did this last year, and it'll be fun. And, of course, yesterday, I'll weave that in. I'll save it for when Pete joins us. The results from yesterday, Willie Mullins won another, also lost a horse. So we'll get all of Pete's news, and he's got that run to do, right? So we'll talk about Pete's whirlwind trip again to Cheltenham. Sid Fernando, we missed yesterday. It was really too bad that Sid got delayed and didn't come in on Monday night. Didn't get to Ocala until early afternoon. But he and Francis Caron, they're at Ocala. They got there for some of the other fireworks. And, of course, you were here live with us, not here, but at Ocala yesterday when the $2 million seller went through the ring. Well, later on in the day, and we'll touch on this, the results were slightly mixed. Up on the top end, they were spectacular. You had another $1 million seller, the $1.2 million purchase by the one and only Larry Best. And Larry Best hasn't missed an opportunity to buy horses for seven figures. So he was in action yesterday, and there were a lot actually of familiar names and interesting results that we'll touch on with Sid. But in addition to the big Tappet colt that we knew going in was going to be a top seller, the Becky Thomas visit, and congratulations to Becky and Mr. Broman, actually, and Mrs. Broman. They're staying in, of course, as was reported yesterday when we had Joe Neville's on. But beyond that, I wanted to mention we found out who the underbidder was, and it was, in fact, Kaleem Shah and Ben McElroy and Simon Callahan. They were at the end anyway. Don't know how many bids toward the end they were sparring, but it was Kaleem Shah that underbid. Shah swung into action later for our friend Aaron Yagoda, and it referenced Aaron's Justin Phillip that breezed beautifully and was getting tons of attention. And congratulations to Aaron and his partner, Mr. Green. $550,000 for the Justin Phillip colt to Kaleem Shah. There were quite a few, actually. There's a few other. There was one other. Where is it? There was a tremendous pinhook success beside Aaron's. He paid $70,000 for the Justin Phillip at Phasic October. But there was also John Smith had paid $10,000 for a Keeneland Yearling, buy include, hip 226. And this is, I thought this was notable. Top Line bought this include for $250,000, and Smith had paid $10,000 at Keeneland September. How about that? Huge score. And there were others. There were some other very nice yearling to two-year-old sale successes. There were also the stallion topics. We'll save that for Sid. Cantheros for Hill and Dale with a very nice Eddie Pleason helping Cantheros' day. A 200, a 300. There was also a 75,000. So the overall numbers, the average actually in the median were down a tick or two, but it's what we've been saying. The big items, the big tickets, they go beautifully, and then there were some middle and a few low end, and there were enough, but we'll see about today. And apparently they're today. I've not looked at the catalog that close for day two, but the word was that day two should be very strong as well. But it was certainly great to be there. Thanks again to Tom Ventura and his team. Let's take a quick break. We're at Clearwater HBPA Convention. Back after this.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
DRF Sports Form Digital Edition, your ultimate weekly betting guide. Published by Daily Racing Form, DRF Sports Form delivers all of the analysis and insight you need for every NFL game and more than 40 college football matchups. Beat the spread with powerful trends and sharp angles. Tap into best bets, expert picks, parlay winners, and more. All for just $4.99 per issue. Get this week's edition free. Visit drf.com/sportsform. Enter code DRF Sports.
What career track are you on?
University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program can prepare you for an exciting career in racing. Turn your passion into a paycheck. Nearly 90% of our students are employed in the racing industry immediately upon graduation. What career track are you on? The University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program. Enroll today and get on track for success. For scholarship opportunities and more, check out our website at ua-rtip.org.
Hi, this is retired race caller Tom Durkin. So, after this year's Derby, I stopped by Top Round Roast Beef on Shelbyville Road in St. Matthews. I got two sandwiches, one for back at the hotel and another for the trip back home to New York. The first one was so good, I had the other one right there. Certified Angus beef, roasted 5 hours, each one made to order. You can taste the difference. Top Round Roast Beef, Shelbyville Road, St. Matthews. Tell them Tom Durkin sent you. Oh, by the way, try the frozen custard too.
Do you ever wonder what happens to your old friends, including the great champions that inspired unforgettable memories, and maybe even let you cash a ticket or two over the years? We even have a former child prodigy.
Here is a superstar. That horse's name is Afternoon Delights, and Kent the Sarmon Afternoon Delights absolutely galloping in the Hollywood Futurities.
These are the champions that help out the horses that might not have won a Grade 1 race, but always tried just as hard. Come visit them all at Old Friends when you're in Kentucky or at our Bobby Frankel division, Old Friends in Saratoga. I know they'll be glad to see you. Go to oldfriendsequine.org or call us at 502-863-1775.
Get started in Kentucky. Over $8 million in additional purse money is available at the five Kentucky tracks for horses eligible for the Kentucky Thoroughbred Development Fund. Kentucky is a good place to race your Kentucky bred. Come home to Kentucky and make a start.
To At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
One scotch, one bourbon, one beer. One scotch, one bourbon, one beer. Please, Mr. Bartender, listen here. I ain't here for trouble and have no fear. One scotch, one bourbon, one beer.
We're back at Clearwater Beach.
I don't want soda, no.
My name is Milburn. For those of you that only thought that George Thorogood did it. The session going, waiting for Eric to pop out of here. So in the meantime, let's catch up on a couple of other pieces of news and tidbits as we get going. And everything at Santa Anita seems to be pointing toward a resumption of full training this morning. And that was the news yesterday. And as the morning gets underway, we'll maybe later around a Harrow break check in with Mike Willman when we get a chance and see how it has progressed. The reviews basically have been terrific from the riders and the horsemen to Dennis Moore and Andy LaRocca, and it certainly feels like having no rain in a week was a was a very positive development to give Moore a chance to do what he does, the magic he does on the great all, and try to get things back to normal here. They'll have basically a week of training and the resumption of racing on Friday of next week, the 22nd, I'm losing track of the days. 21st, I think. 21st. Eric Hamelback joins me. And, Eric, good morning. And when I say here we are again, literally.
Literally.
Because we're back at this beautiful facility that's got the longest walk to the beach I've ever seen.
I've had several people comment on that. Absolutely. So, Steve, thank you. Thank you very much. Yeah, the Sheraton Sand Key Resort here in Clearwater Beach is absolutely amazing. Staff's been great to us. This is where I started, and the very first convention that I had put together when I began was right here, and it's a beautiful place, and obviously everybody loves coming down here.
Well, and the one notable change is the scheduling of these pushed back basically from February dating and being here in March. John Parada taught me a valuable lesson, which is you don't go to Florida until at least Valentine's Day.
Yes.
And because you're not guaranteed of that weather that you want when you come to Florida.
Absolutely.
So everybody's getting what they wanted. Although I will tell you, last week when I got here last Tuesday, for Tampa,
it was
howling winds and 40 degrees. So that was well past. That was almost St. Patrick's Day.
Yep, I understand. Having lived down here in Williston, right outside of Ocala,
right,
for so long, when it's cold in Florida, it is cold.
Yeah,
we were talking about that this morning. That humidity in the air makes it pretty chilly.
Well, it's funny because Casey, every so often when this comes up, Casey will tell me, he saw some ladies. The Yentas, the Altacacas broke out the mink coats because it got to 47.
40 degrees.
Yeah, exactly. This is their big opportunity. They're in storage all summer.
Right.
Come on, Maury. Let's let's go to the fur vault. Pretty funny.
Absolutely.
You know, getting back and bringing all the horsemen together. And, you know, a lot of the topics, Eric, that, you know, we introduced, this is the, you know, the opening salvos. Mm-hmm. Generally, you know, there's the certain challenges that the industry faces, and this is always a great chance for your membership to get together and exchange ideas, talk about what they're dealing with. This is now more or less the second time in 4 years that we're together in close proximity to a public relations disaster.
Mm-hmm.
And what is certainly notable about the two of them, one was authored by a hell-bent journalistic foray and by you know, basically working with you know, animal welfare terrorists.
Mm-hmm.
And this one is very much self-inflicted.
Mm-hmm.
And at the time, in fact, I think it was when we were together here, and
mm-hmm.
we brought up the topic of how the industry is supposed to respond to these circumstances to help people understand the, you know, the mechanics of what can happen,
right?
And especially when it's something that's out of the ordinary,
right?
Some thoughts on that, because in the comments that I made that year on the panel that I was doing with you, I was assailed
mm-hmm.
for having all kinds of nerve to talk about how poorly members of the industry responded to it.
Right. No, well, the one thing I would say is that, and it may be an unfortunate statement, our industry has become very good at dealing with problems in a retroactive fashion. You know, I'm still a farm manager at heart, and I always say I'm probably the biggest pessimist in the room, because I always manage for the worst. And I think that what we need to do is take some notes from other industries in how to be proactive and know what to do in situations like this. And unfortunately, you know, you hear it in a variety of tragedies that go on, whether it's school shootings, these plane going down. Tragedies happen, and it's how you deal with it, and most importantly for me, what you learn and how you deal with it going forward. So again, obviously, you know, Steve, we have planned this agenda well in advance, but I think some of the topics have really hit home. And Dr. Durenberger, who's speaking now, you know, putting the we in welfare, I think, is a very key phrase for us going forward, because you and I totally agree. These animal rights extremists that take these opportunities to attack people, it's disheartening, but we have to know how to deal with it. And we have to know what they're thinking in order to fix our own problem.
Out of curiosity, it feels to me, and this can be a personal opinion as opposed to a industry umbrella agency opinion. You can weave them together. I don't know if I said it out loud. I said it to some people in a different discussion over the last week. When the Exxon Valdez befouled Alaska. And when BP had the Deepwater Horizon disaster, they came under specific and protracted critique and penalty for their for their
handling,
not just handling, but but their practices that led to those kinds of things. And there can be there certainly was oil industry protocol concerns.
Right.
But the in that case, those two companies were specifically cited and zeroed in on it. How is it that Tim Ritvo and PJ Campo and the management, the track management specifically here, when everyone knows the mechanics that went into this, that created this vacuum that led to really the problems lasting as long as they did. It seems that there's the industry is basically taking this broadside for their mismanagement.
Well, I would first say that obviously I'm not hands-on, and with Santa Anita and the group in California, it's not an HBPA affiliate, although we all work on the same deck, the same table. I think that what has happened and how they're dealing with it, hopefully things will work out better in the future, and they'll have an opportunity to learn from whatever mistakes they decide they made and whatever industry input that they get. I would hope that they would take that to heart.
I get it. I get it. The protocols that have been put in place with basically asking the horsemen to jump through extra hoops to lay out the horses that they're going to train. Right. And happened to have this at my disposal the last couple of days at Ocala, lots of horsemen, and they all are quite they're quite content to do it. But it is also it's a little funny, because horsemen make those decisions about who's going to work on a daily basis, the track condition and the availability of the guy that they want to work the horse, and to have them know supposedly 24 hours in advance who's going to work. They have a schedule that they're working toward, but it doesn't mean so.
Well, if I could say one thing about that, obviously that they being the, let's just say, the equine medical director in their world, trying to make sure that they do input and have a say on what goes on. Okay, and I understand that, but what is frustrating about a lot of this from a PR standpoint, go back to the PR standpoint, just what you alluded to, we need to do a better job at explaining what these men and women do on a day-to-day basis and taking care of these horses. Because I think that's the biggest part that frustrates me, is that there is this assertion, and from many within the industry, that we're not taking care of our horses and that's why this is happening. Nothing could be farther from the truth.
Course.
And, yes, maybe another set of eyes is going to help one horse. But I can assure you, without knowing or speaking to any of the trainers that were at Santa Anita, there wasn't one damn person that put a horse on the track that day that thought something bad was going to happen. And that's what gets me the most, is that you have these extremists, as you call them, blasting out that our industry is rampant with drugs, full of problems, and they're putting horses on the track to die. I think that is one of the things I read in some of the LA prints. Again, if you, like myself, have ever lived and breathed these horses, if you've held a horse that has been put down, or you've held a horse that has gone through an injury and had to be euthanized, unfortunately, you don't know what it's like. And for the accusations to have come down on any horseman that there was something nefarious that put the horse at odds and in danger, I will defend every one of them.
Well, of course. And we had a conversation yesterday, and actually also when I was in Ocala.
Mm-hmm.
This has been brought up over the last several years. There's such a ongoing spread between generations that had any proximity to agrarian life.
Right. We talked about my degree of, I call it the degree of separation from agriculture.
Yeah.
And I had a long conversation about this in Arizona at the symposium, and we touched on it, I think, a little bit in your show, because, you know, I grew up on a cattle farm, and I currently live in Bourbon County, Paris, Kentucky, population 10,000, and I guarantee you, in that rural community, there are kids in that community that still think their hamburger comes from McDonald's. That sort of mentality, and right or wrong, it isn't right or wrong. It's just the way our world has turned. And so when you work and live and certainly have been reared in that agricultural world, you understand bad things happen. And you understand that if and when they do, they are devastating to you personally. But to now have the social media attacks to where they are accusations that we are mistreating our animals, that's when I have a problem.
And I would only, on that front, I would get in front, actually, of the discussion and say that when you think about what the circus circumstance and the SeaWorld circumstance, the mentality that is at the heart of this is people that don't believe animals should be used for, they're saying, entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
It's not entertainment. It's a livelihood, and it's a industry, and the fact that there's such a disconnect from people that they don't understand that there are millions of jobs and careers and life that is involved in an industry.
Absolutely.
So, and I've said this before too, unless you're wearing those rubber shoes and a nylon belt and are 100% vegan and so forth, I really don't have, I'm not going to listen to to your argument. And there's no critical mass in worldwide, mm-hmm, that of people that have equate meat as murder and so forth.
Right.
That we're not at that stage.
Right.
So trying to help instead of being worried that people are expecting or thinking that we're mistreating the animals. Mm-hmm. The place, the argument to make is against those that and try to explain to them, mm-hmm, that this is this is a agrarian industry,
right,
much like any other agrarian industry.
Right.
And I don't understand why there's that disconnect, especially because everybody has, I would think, that even the people that are being hypercritical, they have cats and dogs.
Right.
Right?
Right.
So they, it's a very, strange.
It is a different, it's a very
situation.
And
I think everybody has their own, particular bend on it.
Right.
Let's also talk about the welfare issue, certainly overall, for retirement purposes. Again, isolated circumstances, the Louisiana situation, and certainly you, you know, familiar as mm-hmm. you know, as a Tiger, as an LSU grad. It's an isolated circumstance, and even within the industry, I see these critiques. The industry hasn't done. What are you talking about? The industry hasn't done anything. There's been huge strides in most parts of the country, in most jurisdictions.
Absolutely. You know, and I always touch on the welfare situation, and obviously every industry has something that they have to deal with. And I think if you look at Thoroughbred Aftercare, whether you're discussing, you know, some of the earlier groups, and I would point to the TCA, Thoroughbred Charities of America, and what they did to get the message out. And then the industry itself, thanks to one of our panelists later, Jack Wolf, setting up a truly funded accreditation system with the TAA.
It's been a huge success.
It's been a huge success. It's been a huge benefit for HPPA affiliates, for horsemen's groups throughout the country to have that secure feeling that whomever they donate money to is being vetted or just donating through the TAA themselves and having that money fund organizations within their state in their affiliate area. I mean, you look at one of the recent HPPA affiliates that joined on was the Illinois HPPA, Fairmont Park, now big supporters of the TAA. We were able to recently, with many, many thanks and help from Jen Reutz and Rosie Napravnik, working very diligently to get an aftercare facility in Louisiana. We now have a TAA-accredited group there. The HBPA is working on legislation to help fund aftercare programs there, very much mimicking what they do in Kentucky, but in Louisiana, different than many other states, it has to be written into the state statute, which has made it a little more difficult. So, you know, that part of our industry should be so glorified that we have come together as an industry and worked on the aftercare issue, taking care of our retired horses and moving them into second careers. Jen Reutz, who's speaking later today with the Retired Racehorse Project, they have literally, with Stuart Pittman, created a good market for horses after their racing. And that's what we needed. And I'm not going to put a commercialism tag on it, but what it did is it gave those horses value that many thought didn't have value once they turned five and were done with racing. Now we know, and I know from playing polo on thoroughbreds off the track, you know, for years, they have an extreme value, you know, up until, you know, they pass away, but they are athletes and they're bred to be athletes and that's what they want to do. And if it isn't racing, many, many, many of them, if not all of them, have the opportunity to go on to a second career.
What's your polo handicap?
I ended as a one before my injury here in Florida, which was 05, I guess. But I ended as a one, and I always laughed and said to my polo friends that are out there, moving from zero to one was the worst thing that ever happened to me because I was a really good zero. But when you put a one on you, you start getting expected of a little bit more. So, but I lived and breathed that for a long time.
So you were no Red Carroll or Foxhall King.
No,
all right.
No.
All right.
No.
Well, but the fact that you were doing that
is
great. What else highlights? I know you got to get back in.
I'm extremely excited to have Craig Burnick and Jack Wolf and Corey Johnson speaking as our keynote panel, something a little different. But again, I've tried very hard to make this the motto of this convention, maybe unwritten motto, is we're trying to find ways to do things better. I think that industry needs to embrace that. And I think you have the Thoroughbred Idea Foundation. It's going to be monitored also by a board member, Justin Nicholson, one of the founders of Equestricon. So, you know, their insertion of positiveness into the industry and bringing light to things that can help and move things forward, I think, is very important. And then we'll be talking another very timely kind of coordinated event with them is we're going to talk about the issue with stats. What we can do as an industry to increase the availability of stats, and also what I think and I believe, and I know Pat Cummings on the panel, Papo Morales, the panel that you're actually moderating, getting stats into the hands of handicappers, players in every other industry has worked. And so it needs to work for our industry.
And it's a fascinating, I mean, we've been kicking it around, and we had been hoping to have Robin Howlett join us, and Robin had that very frustrating experience with Equibase about his handicapper, not a product, because he wasn't looking to charge anything. Basically, you know, was taking charts, and you know, to be honest, we got the book coming out from Barry Meadow, in fact, out now, that the Skeptical Handicapper, and he crafted his book based on 160,000 charts, this is a very difficult topic because there's cost involved in the accrual of the information, and there's already existing businesses out there that are buying the data and then turning it into something that they sell. And so there's existing customers that you would literally be
racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Tickets to the Belmont Stakes Racing Festival are on sale now. New York's premier three-day racing festival returns to historic Belmont Park June 6th through 8th. Buy tickets today and enjoy trackside reserve seats or enhance your experience with one of our premium hospitality packages to make this an unforgettable event. Grandstand admission starts at $15 and three-day festival passes are also available. Buy now at Ticketmaster.com or visit BelmontStakes.com. The Belmont Stakes, where Amazing. Champions are crowned.
And Wilson Shirley and Papo Morales, I think, again, it'll be a very good timely topic to discuss. And then also what leads into that, Michelle Fisher towards the end of the day is talking about fixed odds,
and which is one of my favorite topics.
Yeah, and you know, the acceptance of that in other parts of the world. I know that sports betting has been my focus in trying to make sure the transition for horsemen is going to be good, and so I think this is a timely topic to really embrace at this time, because trust me, if you don't know it now, our signals are being sold at fixed odds all over the country or all over the world, and we need to be embracing that as well.
I agree. I've said for years that we know that the model exists.
Absolutely.
The TAB New Zealand, and it's actually overtaking the paramutual side.
And that's the interesting area to look at, I think, from a comparison, because they have races with both. And you can literally now statistically graph how much more the handle goes up with the fixed odds. And again, I would say that, you know, maybe even 3 years ago, it wasn't something that was in my train of thought to move forward. But now, merging with sports wagering, I think it's very timely, and it's something our industry needs to move towards, and as quickly as possible.
So. Eric the Tiger on Twitter, and of course the National HBPA feed as well on Twitter, but happy as always to be with you and the horsemen.
Absolutely, and I just, again, on the radio, want to thank you. What you've done for us, what you do for us, coming to this convention, broadcasting here means a lot. It means a lot to me and the attendees and the horsemen.
So. It's my absolute pleasure.
Thanks.
I enjoy it so much. Eric Hamelbeck, everybody. And let's take a quick break here. I think we had a little hiccup. You lost us for 30 seconds, but you'll lose us here for 2 minutes. We'll come back. Andy Serling's going to join us. We'll do the recap on the weekend at Aqueduct and get some more details on some of the races we didn't talk about. Back after this with Andy Serling.
Latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Tickets to the Belmont Stakes Racing Festival are on sale now. New York's premier three-day racing festival returns to historic Belmont Park June 6th through 8th. Buy tickets today and enjoy trackside reserve seats or enhance your experience with one of our premium hospitality packages to make this an unforgettable event. Grandstand admission starts at $15 and three-day festival passes are also available. Buy now at Ticketmaster.com or visit BelmontStakes.com. The Belmont Stakes, where champions are crowned.
Hi, this is retired race caller Tom Durkin. So, after this year's Derby, I stopped by Top Round Roast Beef on Shelbyville Road in St. Matthews. I got two sandwiches, one for back at the hotel and another for the trip back home to New York. The first one was so good, I had the other one right there. Certified Angus beef, roasted 5 hours, each one made to order. You can taste the difference. Top Round Roast Beef, Shelbyville Road, St. Matthews. Tell them Tom Durkin sent you. Oh, by the way, try the frozen custard, too.
Amazing achievements for Pennsylvania breads on the world stage. Thanks to Finest City, Unique Bella, and Shamrock Rose, PA joins Kentucky as the only state in the past decade to breed Eclipse Award champions 3 straight years. Add that to our unmatched incentives. Plus, our racehorse development fund can only be used to support PA breeding and racing. Why breed anywhere else? This is Brian Sanfratello. Go to PABred.com and see why Pennsylvania is the premier place to breed and race.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-938-4643.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Now, back to At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
One look, twice over. People on the way, she looks at me. Held up, let down. She sings me silent melodies. Hair whip, tight lip. I'm feeling cold enough for you. Cold sweat, blood smell. Can't stand the way she looks at me. Don't you tell me no truths, I'm on the hall of your lies. Don't you tell me no truths, just the
hall
of your lies.
We're back at the races. Back to Clearwater Beach, the National HPPA Convention, and happy to step away for a minute as the sessions continue and catch up to the action in New York on Saturday. And, of course, Heichel, who we had talked about with Kieran McLaughlin earlier last week. Heichel, I saw Kieran late yesterday before I got a chance to leave from Ocala. But Heichel in the Gotham. But there was much, much more. It was a really nice sequence, and the return of Vino Rosso, and big performance from Duchere for Mike Maker. Andy Serling joins us from Naira. Good morning.
Morning, Steve. How are you?
Andy. Yeah, good. you know, I wanted to get this in because, you know, yet being at having been at Ocala Monday, Tuesday, and now this, and when they draw Oaklawn later today,
are you doing the draw?
The focus,
yes, I'm. You're getting your jet and fly down to Oakland as opposed to draw. I mean, you're everywhere.
Yes, I'm hosting.
Although there's many important panels you have to be on today.
Just one. Luckily.
Which what panel are you on today? I want to be sure to get the DVD. Is there going to be a video or just audio available?
I don't think there's even going to be audio available.
No, that's disappointing.
I know. It's very disappointing.
Yet another tragedy.
befalling the industry. We're going to be talking about assessing the industry's data into the future. And with Pat Cummings.
Pat's everywhere. The past, is this guy going to be falling? The past predicts the future.
The past does. That's it. And those that are condemned to et cetera, et cetera.
They're condemned to don't know the what is it? Don't know history.
Yeah, so I'm doing
the
putting it together.
Just learned it on the internet and Twitter.
We're also going to be joined by Papo Morales and from Amtote, not Amtote, from Amwager and. There's somebody else. There's Wilson Shirley. So, I assume that right, just about an hour when Jack Wolf, who I was with yesterday, Craig Burnick and Corey Johnson are going to have their panel, sort of a
I think Craig should give away some shares in his horses to people, to create racing fans. I think you should suggest that to Craig.
They want data given away?
I think all of those guys are all interested in other people giving away stuff to float the game, and Craig should give away some shares. Tell Craig. I think that's my idea. I think Craig should give away some pieces of his horses to create more fan interest in owners, to create new owners. That's my idea.
Well,
you can share that if you want.
I will, actually.
Sure, it'll go over well.
Well, I know, and, you know, you're bringing up
free shares in Starlight.
Well, you're bringing it up, and it's not an unreasonable parallel. I have a hard time wrapping my arms around in the free data discussion. There's two parts of it. I just brought it up with Eric Hamelbeck. What about people like Jerry Brown and the Ragazin organization and anybody else that is already buying data?
Right, right. They're buying, and they should have to buy it because they're using it to create a product to sell. And,
yes.
Right. No, I don't. Yeah, it's complicated, right? Yeah.
It's very complicated.
It's a complicated discussion. I don't think it's appropriate for us to have it here because it's too long and complicated, and it's not as though I've spent a lot of time researching it. So I don't want to go off half-cocked on bunch of ideas. And I'm certainly all for things that can help grow the game. I'm not convinced that giving away free data is going to grow the game. I don't have any data to back that up either, so I'm not going to sit here and pontificate.
Well, and part two, of that, of what, and I'll bring this up in our panel later,
I'm losing you, Steve. Hello?
It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Tickets to the Belmont Stakes Racing Festival are on sale now. New York's premier three-day racing festival returns to historic Belmont Park June 6th through 8th. Buy tickets today and enjoy trackside reserve seats or enhance your experience with one of our premium hospitality packages to make this an unforgettable event. Grandstand admission starts at $15 and three-day festival passes are also available. Buy now at Ticketmaster.com or visit BelmontStakes.com. the Belmont Stakes, where champions are crowned.
Hi, this is retired race caller Tom Durkin. So, after this year's Derby, I stopped by Top Round Roast Beef on Shelbyville Road in St. Matthews. I got two sandwiches, one for back at the hotel and another for the trip back home to New York. The first one was so good, I had the other one right there. Certified Angus beef, roasted 5 hours, each one made to order. You can taste the difference. Top Round Roast Beef, Shelbyville Road, St. Matthews. Tell them Tom Durkin sent you. Oh, by the way, try the frozen custard, too.
Amazing achievements for Pennsylvania breeds on the world stage. Thanks to Finest City, Unique Bella, and Shamrock Rose, PA joins Kentucky as the only state in the past decade to breed Eclipse Award champions 3 straight years. Add that to our unmatched incentives. Plus, our racehorse development fund can only be used to support PA breeding and racing. Why breed anywhere else? This is Brian Sanfratello. Go to PABred.com and see why Pennsylvania is the premier place to breed and race.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-938-4643.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Do you want unlimited access to handicapping without exorbitant prices? Then BridgeNet.com has you covered with a variety of plans for past performances, pedigree, and raw data. The BridgeNet.com performance plan offers unlimited PDF past performances for just $75 per month and is available at BridgeNet.com/PP. American Produce Records Online puts the pedigrees of nearly 1 million dams and more than 2 million foals at your fingertips, plus sire stats, for only $275 per year, and is available at BridgeNet.com/APR. The BridgeNet.com data plan offers unlimited access to race day data files, perfect for handicappers with their own database or to plug into other people's programs. The data plan is just $125 per month. Visit BridgeNet.com for all this information and more, and discover why BridgeNet.com is the handicapper's edge.
I think we're back now, and I reached out to my tech guy here locally. Signals dropped a couple of times, so we'll play through as we are very frequently have to deal with, and that's the risk of running around the country. Getting Andy back now, and we'll talk about the action at Aqueduct on Saturday. And I mentioned Duchere. That was some performance after finishing second last year to Skyler's. He dominates, and it may be a signal. Who knows? The six-year-old, here's another emergent sprinter. By far the best performance of his career. Andy.
What's up? What horse are we talking about?
Duchere. Can he sustain that?
He ran very well. What's that?
Can he sustain that? That if he does, I mean, he's going to be.
How old is he?
Six.
No. No. He's not going to run all year long. He's got a suicidal pace and great setup and everything. I mean, you know, he's going to win anyway, but he's not going to run figures like that. No. He's a nice horse. You know, he's a neat horse. Happy to see him do well. You know, I like the three dumb people, so always happy to see them do well. But I don't think three people expect he's going to be running a lot of 106 buyers and crushing fields and takers
right.
Going forward. But No, he's always been a nice horse, and they can keep him together. He'll get on the right situation. He could do well in some okay races. I don't know. Listen, I mean, the sprint division was pretty hungry last year, right? You know, I mean, look at the races that Imperial Hint was running in New York. He was running against nobodies, right? I mean, the Vanderbilt and the Posburg came up with extraordinarily weak fields behind them, right? So there's plenty of room in the end for those horses. So hopefully, you know, he sticks around and, you know, and you know, I mean, Scottish Ramjet just sort of, unfortunately, he was broke so sharply, he was inside of horses. He wasn't going to win, but he was compromised by his position in the race.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Tickets to the Belmont Stakes Racing Festival are on sale now. New York's premier three-day racing festival returns to historic Belmont Park June 6th through 8th. Buy tickets today and enjoy trackside reserve seats or enhance your experience with one of our premium hospitality packages to make this an unforgettable event. Grandstand admission starts at $15 and three-day festival passes are also available. Buy now at Ticketmaster.com or visit BelmontStakes.com. The Belmont Stakes, where champions are crowned.
Hi, this is retired race caller Tom Durkin. So, after this year's Derby, I stopped by Top Round Roast Beef on Shelbyville Road in St. Matthews. I got two sandwiches, one for back at the hotel and another for the trip back home to New York. The first one was so good, I had the other one right there. Certified Angus beef, roasted 5 hours, each one made to order. You can taste the difference. Top Round Roast Beef, Shelbyville Road, St. Matthews. Tell them Tom Durkin sent you. Oh, by the way, try the frozen custard, too.
Amazing achievements for Pennsylvania breeds on the world stage. Thanks to Finest City, Unique Bella, and Shamrock Rose, PA joins Kentucky as the only state in the past decade to breed Eclipse Award champions 3 straight years. Add that to our unmatched incentives. Plus, our racehorse development fund can only be used to support PA breeding and racing. Why breed anywhere else? This is Brian Sanfratello. Go to PABred.com and see why Pennsylvania is the premier place to breed and race.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-938-4643.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.